The Lord, I tell you, service has been sweet today. And I've heard Brother Tim, Brother John talk a lot about these morning services, morning sessions as they call them. And I thank the Lord for people that are here because they want to be here. And that makes it sweet. Thank God for you. I appreciate the Lord working in our hearts during these days. I appreciate the Lord giving us an opportunity to be a part of it. It's just a blessing to have a small part in the work of the Lord. And I thank the Lord for it. Amen. Well, let me look over here in Philippians. This is not, Lord willing, where I'm going to preach from. But this is where the Lord led me to today to read. I encourage you that are saved by the grace of God that you would make this Bible an intricate part of your life. It's your food. It's food for the soul. And you're not going to have any strength unless you get strong in the Lord and in this King James Bible. And so you need to read it. Read it over and over and over again. I have no idea how many times that I have read through the Bible. I've been saved 33 years, so I know at least I've read it through 33 times. At least I've read the Bible through 33 times. I know that. But I don't even keep up with it because I read it, I've read it through and finished it probably in July. And then I backed up and read the whole New Testament through again, then backed up to Romans, read it through again to the end. And then I felt like I ought to back up to Philippians because I just finished this week again in the book of the Revelation and began to read in the book of Philippians. Listen to this verse here and look at it in verse number 20. This is what I was reading this morning. The Bible says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." And I want to say to you, amen, before we get into the message, there is a better day coming. I talked to a widow, Brother John, before I come to this meeting, and the reason I wasn't able to be here till Monday night late, I preached for a brother that Brother Tim and I had the privilege of preaching 4 years ago, and I still got to preach for him up until the time that he passed away. Last year, about this time on Sunday, I was in the state of Kentucky and then making my way 13 hours or whatever it was over here to be in the meeting last year and be with you precious people. Brother Logston, maybe a couple weeks ago, I think it was, Brother Tim, something around there, Brother Logston had just dropped off his grandson and at school, and thanked the Lord for that. And then there was no skid marks, and he ran into a utility truck. They don't know if there was a physical problem or what there was, but there was no skid marks. Ran into the back of it. Well, obviously, it broke his neck, and he was not going to have any movement at all. And then because of complications, he passed away a few days later. I say that to say this, Brother Larry Logston, in the times that Brother Tim and I would preach out there together, preached around 15 people for about 40 years. He had opportunity to go to other churches, larger churches, numerically larger churches. He felt God wanted him to stay there and minister to those people. Amen. Like your pastor, he was a very, very hospitable man. He was always kind to me and my family. I met him years ago in Arkansas. And he said, "Brother Rose, I want you to come and preach to my people." Brother Logston today is enjoying what this verse is talking about. He's not paralyzed. He's not feeble. He has great mobility. Amen. He has his mind. But I talked to that little widow today, and Sister Logston, I said, "You're on our heart." When we read the Bible with the children this morning to have prayer, Rebecca said, "Let's remember the Logston family." Let's remember them. But I'm glad it doesn't matter what problem that you have and what physical problems you may have in this physical body. God's not going to leave it that way. He is going to change our vile body.
Amen.
And He's going to give us a brand new body. Brother Sculpton, amen, when we get up there, amen, I don't believe I'm going to have a haircut with a hole in the middle. Amen. Thank God, hallelujah, He's going to give us a brand new body. And you know, I'm looking forward to that. I'm glad that when I read in this Bible, amen, I am assured today, even more sure, that thank God Jesus is soon to return. And by the way, our conversation is already over that. According to Ephesians, amen, He seated us together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. According to the book of the Revelation, amen, John looked out, amen, and saw those that were redeemed. And I think about this, if you're saved, He saw you. I preach a message, amen. I wanted to preach it here, and I would just preach it by memory, amen, because I don't most use my notes anyway. But I was all tore all to pieces and tore out of the frame because I couldn't find my notes. That's what I get for writing my messages on napkins and envelopes and putting it in about 15 Bibles, literally, amen. I probably carry 15 Bibles with me, amen, King James Bibles, and I put them everywhere. And then I can't find, if I ain't preached a message in a long time, I can't find it anywhere, amen. Very organized person. But thank God, when John looked out and saw the redeemed, can I say this? Did he see you? He saw all of the redeemed crowd. Did he see you? Amen. I'm glad I'm saved today. I don't know any better place to be, young lady, than be in church. At Black Creek Baptist Church. I'm not here by accident. I know I had an appointment by the pastor, but I'm glad I had a divine appointment to be in church. I'm thrilled to be here. And many of you, I know you're thrilled to be here. Amen. Now let's look here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And I want to challenge your heart about this subject of the coming of the Lord. With the help of the Lord, we dealt with that it ought to challenge us about our service for the Lord, because you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. All of us, amen, like I mentioned last night, if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, that are saved by the grace of God are going to appear one day at the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And Brother John mentioned this and alluded to it last night. I've always said this. This is alluding to and corresponding with the judgment seat. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." And so Paul said, the terror of the Lord is, amen, that he would not be found faithful, not in the sense that he would be found disapproved and lost, but that, listen, there would be loss of reward at the judgment seat of Christ. And as we think about the coming of the Lord and how it ought to provoke us in our service, amen. I don't know about you, but according to Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 21, I want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you a ruler over many." And thank God for that. I want to say, listen, I want to do well. I want to be a good preacher and be accepted of him. I want to be a person that is plausible and people will hear the message. I don't want to be a person, amen, that just, repels people.
Come on.
You know, Brother Tim, I used to say, and it offended me when they called me a minister. I said, I'm not a minister, I'm a preacher. I found out over 30 years of preaching, amen, you don't do much preaching unless you know how to minister.
That's right.
If I'm not approachable out of this pulpit, it's not much count in.
That's right. Yes, sir.
That's right.
And I want to be a help to you. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the person that I want to most glorify and get approval from is the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Now let me challenge you in the matter. And I don't know who's off work, amen, who might get to listen. And I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. But the other night after the service, Brother Tim and some of the men felt burdened. And we walked down the street there, and the men began to testify. It was such a blessing to be in that service.
Amen.
Began to testify and tell what the Lord had done for them. And it wasn't high pressure evangelism. We wasn't putting undue pressure on anybody, but we just telling how good it was to be saved and have the peace of God. And that individual got to be in the service last night. I remember him from last year. But you know, God ought to challenge us in the matter of the second coming about our soul winning. And you understand when I say soul winning, I'm not talking about leading people in prayers and all that nonsense, amen. But I'm going to tell you what, if you don't have a burden for souls, there's something wrong with you. There's a world lost and dying and going to hell, amen. And I tell you what, we have let this modified mode of Calvinism, that we do not care whether people that are lost, and we just think God's going to work it all out, but God uses you. And when the second coming gets on your mind and you know Jesus is coming real soon, then notice what the scripture says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 19. The Bible says, and here it is again mentioning the second coming, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are you not even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Paul said, what's my joy, my crown of rejoicing? It's those that I've seen saved by the grace of God. We need to get more concerned about the lost.
Amen. That's right.
You know, I preach in churches, and Brother Tim has probably had an opportunity to preach in churches, and it's therefore and no more. As long as their family comes, as long as their little group comes, they're not concerned about it. I preach for pastors, amen. Been out on street meetings, amen, that has been sponsored with, again, connection to that local church, amen. And I'm not fussing, but the pastor be out deer hunting. And you're out trying to reach the town for Christ. I'm telling you what, we've lost our burden for souls.
Come on.
Paul said, my joy, my crown of rejoicing is those that I've seen in Thessalonica, amen. And he said, the coming of the Lord should provoke you to soul win, if I can use that term, amen.
Yes,
now, here's the illustration. I didn't know for a long time what those large pieces of rectangular metal were that the ends were cut out. You know what those are for? They put them in ditches to keep them from caving in. Back before those things were invented, amen, they was put in a large pipeline, and a man went by and they said there's a cave in. Well, of course, he was somewhat maybe concerned, amen, but he went down there and listened, and then they instructed him that it was his own brother that was under and suffocating under the dirt. And buddy, he got involved and he started digging. When you really realize
If there's a world dying and going to hell, amen, you get involved, and you start praying, and you start witnessing, and you start going, amen. Listen, hey, listen, in the word gospel, it's G-O, go. Amen. You young ladies get to work down there right in the middle of Blaine. Y'all get to see all kinds of visitors, people that come. I mean, you know, Blaine's a tourist trap. But there's probably all kinds of people that go through that little store down there. And I know maybe you're introverted and you're backward, Bethany, but God can use you to reach somebody with the gospel. And God can use you to reach somebody with the gospel that I will never have the effect that you'll have an effect in. And you can tell them about this glorious God and this wonderful grace that's took place in your life. Amen. Listen, have the best testimony there is, the best witness there is, son. Tell. Did God do something for you?
Right.
Tell him what he did for you. Amen. Listen, friend, you don't have to fabricate it. Tell him, amen, what God did for you and how he delivered you, amen.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
We need to go with the gospel. In our Baptist churches, amen, where we've seen all the buses run, and I'm not being critical, seen all the soul-winning programs on Thursday nights, and now a lot of churches do nothing. Just wait around. Let the Spirit move. And I got news for you. A lot of sinners in a lot of churches never darken the church door.
That's right.
And you got to take time with them. And I'm not better than anybody else here. But I've sat around, Brother Scope, like you were saying. And I've got in the middle of family fights. Caught in the middle. And they're in the middle of a fight. And both in a drunken brawl. And listen, friend, you got to get in there and mix in amongst them.
Amen.
And you might get your suit clothes smoked up.
Come on,
buddy. Amen. And you just sit on the couch where the beer's been dropped and the whiskey's been dropped. But you're trying to share the gospel with them and Christ with them. Amen. And it takes time.
Yeah.
And you got to extend yourself. You got to go where they're at. God dropped me right in the middle of the neighborhood, 279 Hidden Acres Court, Kingsport, Tennessee. And God dropped me right in the middle of Joe Insco's life. He loves drunkenness. He loves drink. He drinks hard liquor. He's not a weekend drunk. He's an everyday drunk. So I go over there and he calls me an a-hole and everything else. Amen. When he's drunk, out of his mind. And listen, friend, I sat out with him and I wept with him and I asked him if I'd pour his liquor out. Amen. Because I'm trying to reach him.
That's
fine. Yeah. I ain't made much progress with Joe. It seems like he's getting drunker and drunker and drunker. But I'm still going after him. It upsets me, amen. A few years ago, I got upset. Somebody went over and talked to him and shared with him about eternal life. And he had made a profession years ago in a free will church. And he said, oh, I've got eternal life now. Said eternal life, God don't give that to drunks.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on,
amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you, friend, when you get saved by the grace of God, God will hook you up to a different fountain. Amen.
Right.
Listen, friend, God just changes people's lives. How could the God of glory move into your life and you still be a drunk?
Oh, come
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
It don't happen.
Right.
So I'll tell you what I do. He ain't much interested in church, and he don't come to church much. In fact, he ain't come to church 2 years ago, homecoming September 2 years ago. So I tell you what I do. Here's how I do it. I got people over for hamburgers and hot dogs on July 4th.
Right.
But there's preaching included.
Yeah. I like it.
It works one time.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'd go to family reunions and preach, amen. I'll preach about anywhere. And we're going to have a birthday party for Dad, and some cousins are coming. And with the Lord's help, I'll stand up with the Bible and preach, amen. You can't get them to come to church. I'm going to bring the Bible to them, the gospel to them. I'm going to preach. Preaching gets the job done. So I'm very unorthodox. Scream at birthday parties. Hey man, I mean, listen. Open up the Bible, the center, and I don't scream all the time. Sometimes we had a snow day. I mean, y'all have snow up here, and we have, you know, a dusting, and people fall all to pieces in Kingsport. I've went to church with bald tires and everything, amen. I just think you ought to go to church, amen. Listen, one preacher said when they close the Eastman down, Eastman Kodak, that's when we'll close our church services down. And listen, I agree with him, amen. And so listen, they closed their services down. And listen, friend, I invited some people over to the house. And listen, we had some playing and some singing and some hymns and some preaching. You got to go where they're at. Get them in your home. Feed them a meal. Be good to them. Show Jesus to them. Amen. Preach the gospel to them. Because one day, our hope, our crown of rejoicing will be those we had an influence in seeing get saved. I've been traveling and preaching quite a while. Many, many years. For somebody my age, I don't know how many people that I've seen that's truly professed and got converted to Jesus Christ. I know a few that have evidenced the fact. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't keep the Lamb's Book of Life. But one day it'll be a privilege and an honor to meet people that you had a part of glorifying the Son of God, lifting up the cross. And the coming of the Lord ought to provoke you. You've got grandchildren that are lost. You've got family that are lost. Jesus is coming soon. And we ought to be going. We ought to be writing. I remember my mom would go into a writing campaign and write to her sisters and different ones and give them the gospel. Amen. We ought to be giving them the gospel because time is running out. Amen. The second coming in relation to soul winning. Some having compassion, that's the ones that make a difference. Amen. The second coming in relation to stability. Look at chapter number 3. Every chapter in 1 Thessalonians ends with the second coming, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it deals with our servitude, it deals with our soul winning, it deals with our stability, Verse number 13. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 13, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. We need stability in these day and hour. But I tell you what, if there's a lacking of anything, and I said it Monday night, if there's a lacking of anything I've seen in the day and hour in our Baptist churches, we don't have no stability.
No, sir.
We don't have stability. We don't have stability in our families.
That's right, brother.
And you know, I know when people first get saved, they're learning, they're growing, and stuff like that. May God help us, amen, to get established in the faith and get some stability about us. Brother Askwitz, amen, was doing such a good job, amen. Us men need to step up and be men.
Yes, sir.
It's hard for ladies, amen, to submit, even though they're commanded to, if they're saved, submit themselves to something like some of us are.
That's right.
Amen? You young men are never going to probably be provided a precious wife. You ought to get some stability in your life so you can be a leader in your home.
That's right.
Your wife and your children ought to be, listen, they ought to be, it ought to be a regularity that they come in and catch you cracking that Bible open, amen, and on your prayer bones, and know that you're a man of God, and know that you know how to pray and get a hold of the Lord. But it's too much like it's already been said. We act one way at home and another way at church.
Uh-oh.
And the kids look over and say, who's that devil?
Come on.
Amen.
That's right.
Get some stability in your life. One black preacher said his daddy taught him some four-letter words. Don't get nervous. W-O-R-K. Work. W-A-S-H. Wash. Amen.
Come on.
Hallelujah. You know, when I lost my job here a few years ago, and I'm not going to go into the circumstances about that, but when I lost my job of 26 years of driving truck, and, you know, I'm not saying I enjoyed truck driving. I didn't even like that. Being a super trucker, amen, wore off once my, you know, I got my leather gloves with the fingerless leather gloves, amen, and all that, and I was a super trucker, amen. But that wore off after 3 weeks. And getting up, amen, and going to work. I went to work at 2 o'clock in the morning, amen. I went to work at 2 o'clock in the morning and got up before then to spend time with Jesus.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you one thing, it got real old over the years. And I was glad to supply for my family, but I was out working and laboring and supplying the needs for this family and giving to God's work and giving to missions. And when I lost my job there a few years ago, I said, what am I going to do? I want to preach. Most jobs are not conducive, amen, that I can go out and preach. You just don't tell any employer, amen. You know, I've got to have about 3 or 4 weeks off during the summertime and all this.
Right.
And so I went and asked my neighbor. I knew that he unloaded trucks at the mattress warehouse down the road. And I said, can I come and unload trucks? I said, I need a job. And I was trying to put in an application and nobody would hire me. They said the job market was up. Nobody would hire me, not even in the trucking field. I said, I need a job. And he said, let me get back with you. And he said, he come back and he said, we'll hire you on Fridays to help with the unloading of the trucks. And then give you $100 a day. I thought to myself real quickly, I said, $100 a day is better than $0 a day. Amen. And then they gave me a raise. Amen. After a few months, $125 a day. And I'm not complaining. $125. And I'm saying, Brother John, there's been many times I've wondered, but I wanted to preach. I wanted to, preaching's always been primary with me.
That's right.
I've been willing to work, but preaching's always been first. I'm a preacher, and then I work. I'm God's minister, and then I work.
Right.
And there's been times, Brother Tim, I ain't even made grocery budget working my job. But I'm going to keep on working. I'm going to keep on laboring. And I'm like any of you men, amen. I've watched the figures, amen, and stuff go down, down, down. The bank account goes down, down, down. But I tell you what, I want to say something. If you'll be faithful and get some stability in your life, amen, God will meet your needs.
That's right.
Yes, He will.
Working. Now, there were some offerings, and this church was a big part of it. I'm just giving God the glory. Working last year, you know what I made? A little under $10,000. Now divide that by 9.
Right, right.
Your math is pretty easy there. I'll help you out some. It's a little over $1,000 a piece. How did we get by? I went out and worked. I went out and preached. And when preaching don't work, work will.
Amen.
And when work don't work, preaching will. And when neither one doesn't work, amen, you don't need it anyhow. Amen?
That's it. Yeah.
But stability. Men, get some stability in your lives.
Come on.
Be a person that's faithful in the Word of God. Brother John, this pastor will teach you the Word of God. But everybody has a responsibility to study, to show yourself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You ought to know the Bible.
You ought to know the Word of God. I've been with pastors before. They was afraid, amen, to confront the cults. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm not afraid. I know what they believe. I know what the Bible says. And I can take them to task with it.
Come on.
You've got to get some stability in your life. Your home will never be stable, men, until you get stableness in your own life. And Jesus is coming soon. And when we think about it in the judgment seat, get some stability in your life. Amen.
That word established means to set fast, to turn resolutely in a certain direction, strengthen. So he said, establish your hearts unblameable. Establish your hearts unblameable. I'm glad when he saved us, hallelujah, he established my going. He just didn't set me on a path and say, make it the best way you can, Brother Carl. Thank God he set a path for me. And thank God it's heading to the New Jerusalem, amen. He established my goings. Amen. Then he says that we're rooted and built up in him, up in him, and established in the faith, according to Colossians 2 and verse number 7. He said he's going to establish you in every good word and work. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 17. The Bible says, Hebrews 13:9, that the heart may be established with grace. So God wants to establish you and get some things settled in your life. Quit being so shiftless. Quit being so up and down. Ask God. You know what your revival is? Ask God to get all the dregs out of your life. And the best that you can, ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Because revival living is Spirit-filled living. That is revival. You're never going to, you'll be up and down, in and out, all your life until you get filled and controlled by the Spirit. Some of you know it. I don't know about that lifestyle. I was never introduced to it. And if it hadn't been for the grace of God, young lady, I would have. But you know what it is to be filled with intoxicating beverages. Controls you. Set them up. Everybody at the bar, have one on me. And there might be 50 people there, amen. But you're controlled by Jack Daniels, Blue Nun, whatever you're controlled by, amen. You're controlled with this intoxicating beverage, amen. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, amen. I'm going to tell you, the first thing it'll affect your mind. You'll think different. You get filled with the Spirit, amen. You won't be a super critic.
Oh,
look at that, your banana nose. Hit everybody across the aisle. Well, I wonder why he like me. Because you'll love one another. The fruit of the Spirit, help me, is love.
Hey!
You can forbear one another. Maybe me and Brother Michael don't agree haw and everything, but he's my brother in Christ. Thank God we can just jam up with one another. Amen. Hallelujah! You won't be looking down your nose at everybody and saying, hey, they ain't quit chewing yet. You're still smoking. What's your problem? You just quit smoking last week. I can still smell the Marlboros on your breath. He ain't quit chewing yet, amen. Maybe he's addicted.
That's right.
I'm not making excuses. I'm against all that, amen. But I'm against a critical attitude, amen. Because there's no stability in your life and you have no forbearance for other Christians. All of us have got to grow. And all of us, even from this church and this meeting, ain't heard everything that everybody else has heard. I go to churches that hardly hear any preaching.
That's right.
That's right.
Now, ma'am, I could go in there and blow the whole thing up sky high because they're all wearing mini skirts and breeches and all that. And I'm not fussing at you, ma'am. I believe a lady ought to dress modest. But I'm going to tell you what, if you have the Spirit of Christ, God can help you to affect those people's lives.
That's right.
Their problem, can I say this and you take it right, their problem may be deeper than that.
That's exactly right. Yes, sir.
And it usually is.
Sure it is.
Yes, sir.
We're going to have the Spirit of Christ and even as a preacher be established. Jesus is coming, and I've got to be established in the faith, settled, fixed, firm. You know, probably years ago, Brother John, when you met me, and you took this church a few years after that, it was 20-some years ago that we met, probably around about, I wouldn't have been ready to minister to these people. Brother Tim, let's just be honest. I've wondered over the years why anybody used me. Listen, I want to be a help to people. I want to get established because Jesus is coming. And I want to have some establishments in my life and have my paths fixed and firm. I don't want to be wavering every which way. I got kids looking on.
Yes, sir.
And your kids will magnify, your children will magnify your every fault. And all the good things, if there's any good thing about me, it's Jesus, Sister Black. But if there's any good thing, that's usually not what they follow.
That's right.
They follow the negative thing. I've noticed my kids sometimes. Can I just tell them, Brother Rose? My kids get critical of one another, cut each other down. And then I sit back and think of myself, amen. Is that how I treat them? They're just mimicking what I do with one another.
Come on.
Getting established. Jesus is coming, folks. And he says we need to get established in the Lord. Stability. Stability. Chapter number 4 and verse number 18. Chapter 4 and verse number 18. You know, this is a classic text on what we call the rapture of the church, the catching away. I'm glad he's coming back one day for his bride. I don't have time to deal with that. Amen. I'm trying to preach this message. Amen. But the Bible says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. The second coming in relation to strength. We're to comfort one another. We're to call near. We're to invite. We're to entreat. I believe it has the idea of strengthening. You know, there are a lot of people that are downcast and they feel there is no hope. And their life is full of dark clouds. Even in this day and hour, and in these precious congregation, amen, there are people that feels the sun is probably never going to shine again. But thank God, I'm glad. It doesn't matter how black it gets, how bleak it gets. Listen, it doesn't matter how wicked the world gets. I'm glad that Jesus one day is going to split that eastern sky. Thank God he's coming back just like he said he went away. And he said, I'm coming back. Amen. And I could be today. And you know what that does? Strengthens me. Strengthens me. You need that? You need some of that?
Yes.
Me and Brother David, my good friend, was talking. He's the three of us good friends, many of them good friends, pastor. We was talking the other day. I was kind of sharing with him some of my burdens. My dad, I'd had to leave Friday anyway. My dad fell the other day in the bathroom. My kid sister's watching him, and he's got all bruised up, or I'm going to have to take him and get him x-rayed. And so I'm trying to juggle. I'm God's preacher. I'm trying to work a job. I'm trying to raise a family. I literally raise my dad now. And I'm not throwing off on my dad. But my dad has been hard to deal with. My dad's totally changed since my mom died. Something happened to him. I'm not going to run him down, but he's totally a different person. He's very vindictive toward me. It's hard to take.
Yes, sir.
And he don't trust me. And a lot of other things I can say. But I love my dad.
Amen.
And sometimes it seems the clouds are rolling and the skies are dark. And it don't seem like there's ever going to be a breakthrough. And I went up in the woods many times and sat on a prayer log that I've prayed on for years and years and years in this place. It means so much to me. It's nothing spiritual about it. But when that place is sold after he dies, I'm taking the prayer log with me. The boys are going to load it up in the truck, and I'm going. My wife's going to be careful for petrified logs, but it's going to be put somewhere on our yard. Amen. It just means something to me. And I've talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't understand. My mom and dad lived for you. Was your servant. And gave to the Lord's work. And my mom died kind of in a bad frame of mind. And my dad's in a bad frame of mind. And it's spiritual warfare. You mark it down. It's spiritual warfare. I believe with all my heart. Me and Dad getting fusses and sometimes, and I try to apologize to him, and I don't know how much he understands about all that. But I go over and cook his meals and give his medicine to him and get him in the shower, and it's very humbling, and stripping him and washing him. Sometimes when he don't take a bath, and you get a lot of things on your plate. And I've thought about throwing it all in. And there's been a lot of things, amen, that I need strength over. And then a man of God say, I want you to come to New York and preach. And I said, Brother John, it's a long way to New York. I'm 500 miles from New York. But then I say, you know, God called me to preach. God wants me to preach. And there's a lot of times I feel at very low ebb. But I keep in mind, it's not always going to be like this. One day Jesus is going to come back and the tears are going to be wiped away. And there's not going to be any heartache up there. And there's not going to be any sorrow up there. And it doesn't matter what you go through, God is able to strengthen you because Jesus is coming again real soon. Strengthen you. Comfort one another. Make sure you comfort one another with these words. Amen. You see what we ought to be doing? Hebrews 10:25. Exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. We ought to be encouraging one another. Thank God it gives strength. It's not always going to be like this. We're going to a place, brother, there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more goodbyes. We'll never go and stand over a casket of our loved ones and preach over the head of that casket. Before they lowered that body, there won't be no more of that. There'll be no more death. Mm-hmm. Sister Brenda, there'll be no parties. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be no more cancer. Mm-hmm. See, Jesus is coming again, and he said, young lady, comfort one another with these words. You know, if you're not saved, we're about to close. If you're not saved, I really wonder what you do for comfort. Because you have no hope.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You have no hope.
Exactly.
Oh, you may think that when they go to that graveyard, amen, they just die and rot like a dog, but that's not the end, friend.
No,
and one day you're going to fill an empty hole. And if you're not saved, you're going to be doomed and damned forever without Christ. But thank God for those that are saved, son. We have comfort. We have comfort. Listen, my mom passed away. I was the one that found her there in the bed, dead of a massive heart attack. Amen. And listen, I was stunned. I was speechless. But listen, friend, God gave me grace that same day. Hallelujah. And said, let not your heart be troubled. I'm telling you, I preached it. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Yes, I believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. The very same day I preached that, a few hours after I found my mom dead.
Lord,
God gives me strength because He's not left us alone. Sister, you feel alone, but you're never alone. God said, I'll be a father unto you.
That's right.
Whatever you need, He can be it. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. Listen, friend. God's not left us alone. He's gave us a Bible. He's gave us a Bible. Amen. Thank God. And I felt comfort in the presence and in the pages of God's Word. How many times have I been lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut? And I open up this King James Bible, and God had something for me. I want to stop and say,
hey.
Right.
Hey.
Yeah, right.
Hey.
Yeah.
Young lady, you get in this Bible, if you're saved, or if you need to be saved, then get in this Bible and get saved. And make this Bible an intricate part of your life. To God be the glory. I've got reading Bibles. Reading Bibles that look like preaching Bibles.
Amen.
Reading Bibles. I may have never hardly preached any messages out of them. I ransacked them. I read them. You know I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. You didn't wear your thing today. Amen. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I've not been guilty. I'm not reading and studying.
All right, good.
Because it gives me comfort. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No other book can do that. I've read other books like Brother John said. Men's opinion, even about the Bible and stuff like that. I've read other books. I'm just going to preach like I've read other books that I have. I'm a redneck preacher, amen. I can't help but be who I am, amen. But I've read other books over the years, amen. But no other book has helped me like this book.
That's right.
That's reading it so exciting, Brother Tim, to see the people come honor this church and honor the Lord and honor this pastor and fill up this sanctuary practically in a morning service to come hear the Word of God. I'm telling you what it'll do. It'll strengthen you. It'll strengthen you is what it'll do.
Amen.
I'll close here in a minute. Literally. I really will. This ain't evangelistically speaking. Sometimes you wonder if the Word of God's having an effect on your life. In the old Keswick meetings, amen, they was having an old Brush Arbor meeting down by the creek. We call it a creek where I'm from. Y'all call it a creek. But a creek. And they was having a meeting down there, amen. And a young fella come out of the Brush Arbor that morning and met the preacher. And he said, Brother, I know that I'm saved. Preacher, I know that I'm saved, but it seems like the Word of God is not having an effect in my life like it should. And so they was near the kitchen arbor there, and the preacher, went into the kitchen arbor, and he got what's known as a sieve. Anybody know what a sieve is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Amen. Got a sieve, a flour sieve, and it was covered, you know, with the biscuit dough and the flour and the bread dough and stuff like that. And he said, son, go down to the creek and could you get me a sifter full of water?
And the young man kind of was puzzled, but he went down and he tried to do his best to dip. Of course, it's full of holes, amen. And he tried his best to get a sifter full of water, but he finally come back exasperated. He said, "Pastor, I did my best, but I just can't get any water in this sifter. I can't bring you any water." He said, "Son, but do you notice the effect of the water on the sifter?" He said, "Oh yeah, it's clean. Keep filtering that water through."
That's right.
That water of the Word. That water of the Word. Every message don't affect you in some way like it does others, but keep filtering that water through. Keep coming. Keep listening. Keep paying attention. Keep hearing good preaching. Amen. And thank God the Word of God will have an effect on you that will clean you up. It will strengthen you. Amen.
The second coming in relation to strength. He said, "Look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees." Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Provoke, we're to provoke. This is a good kind of provoking. I provoke people to be mad sometimes. I don't want to, amen. But here's a good kind of provoking. Provoke unto love and to good works, amen. That's a good kind of provoking. I want to do that kind of provoking. I want to provoke you to love and good works, amen. The second coming, number 5, in relation to sanctification. This is the verse we read on the other night, amen. Notice what he said. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And he mentions again the coming of the Lord. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So God wants the second coming to affect us practically in our lives. Amen. It's not just a doctrine we believe, but it affects, Brother Michael, our practice. It sanctifies us. It sets us apart. It cleanses our lives. That's what it should be doing. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 3, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification." It's good for you young people to hear this, that you should abstain from fornication. Right. You said, "I've already done that." Amen. Abstain now. Yeah. By the grace of God, never do it again.
Amen. Come on. That's it. Yeah. Amen.
Somebody asked me, we was at their home, and they said, "We've heard, is it really true that you and Sarah never kissed until the day you got married?" I said, "Oh yeah, that's exactly right."
Amen.
I wish I'd done everything right in my Christian life, even before I got saved. But I can't undo none of that.
But when I made a vow to God, and I got right with God about some things, it's good for a man not to touch a woman.
That's right.
And God's good is always your best.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. And when God, listen, put it in my heart, and I made a vow. You hardly ever hear anything about that anymore. I made a vow to God that I would never touch another young lady again, amen, until I got married to her. And my wife's not hearing it, embarrass her, but I kissed her when we got married that day. I think her eyes crossed.
Lord.
It was worth the wait.
Hey,
it was worth the wait, amen. My wife said, "Quit saying that, amen." Her lips were chapped for weeks. I'm serious. I'm not lying. I don't have to make it up.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, it's wonderful, amen, if you're going to stay in the will of God. Keep your sanctification. Separate yourself. Cleanse yourself. Let God purify you and purge you, amen, from all these worldly pleasures. You don't have to look like a Hollywood starlet or a Hollywood harlot, amen. God can give you something that's wonderful, amen. God can, listen, have you looking for the coming of the Lord, and God can give you everything and much, much more than you ever desired, amen. If you'll wait on God,
And you young ladies back there saying, "But Brother Rose, most people don't even know where Blaine is." But God's able if you'll wait on Him.
That's right.
Yeah. Might be like me, almost 31 years, but happily married, or over 21. Amen. It's worth the wait. This precious lady's trying to help you. Wait on the Lord. Amen. Get tied up with God. Get in His Word. Get your nose in His Word. Let God sanctify you. Thank God for your pastor and the separation that He's taught you. But listen, let God make it your own. And determine you're not going to back down and compromise just to get somebody.
Come on.
I never thought, listen, I gave myself up that I'd probably wasn't going to get married. I just broke up with a young lady courting her. And I'm not trying to belittle her either, amen. Brother Tim, you probably met her years ago. I'm not going to mention the name. But there was doctrinal differences. And I wasn't being mean. I said, "You know what, young lady, I ain't a free will Baptist. And this just ain't going to work." Amen?
Amen.
You better get lined up doctrinally, or there's going to be problems. They're going to be taking your kids down to the Methodist church. Amen? And you'll be coming to a Bible preaching church and be sitting there still alone. Are you listening to me? You got to get lined up. Don't cash in your chips. It's sanctified. And so I told Sister Rose before we got married, I told her before we got married, I said, "I'm not your daddy. I'm not your daddy, but we're serious about this matter of getting married when God brought her into my life." And I said, "I want to be real upfront with you. I believe in separated living." And I said, "We're going to dress right." And I said, "I'm not your daddy, and I can't tell you necessarily right now how to dress. But I said, if you get married to me, amen, there ain't going to be no slits in your dresses." And I would say it if she was sitting there. I wasn't trying to belittle her. I said, let's be real transparent about this. And we're going to live without Hollywood. Amen. And we're going to live for Jesus. We're going to live a life that's separate and sanctified. I dealt with one young lady about that, amen. And she hit the road, amen.
Yeah, amen.
So long. Farewell.
Yeah, thank God.
Amen.
Thank God.
Listen, I was going to go with God. Sanctified living. But notice this. Notice this. 2 Chronicles 29 and verse number 5. There was a call made under Hezekiah for sanctification. Sanctification under Hezekiah. I don't have time to deal with that. We'll close. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 21. The Bible says we're to be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. The Bible says, 1 John 3 and verse number 3, let me refresh my memory about this verse, amen. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." And I want to say this, Brother John, you know it. There's some things God ain't going to do for you. He tells you to do it.
That's right. Yes, sir. That's right.
God ain't going to come down here and make you a super saint. He tells you, cleanse yourselves, purify yourselves. He said, do it yourself.
That's right.
You do it through His power, you understand, but you're going to have to do it yourself.
That's right.
That's it. Amen. And so he deals with this matter of the second coming. And in the second coming, certainly it's all important, but it is a practical incentive and enablement for the Christian life. Encouraging service, soul winning, stability, strength, and sanctification. And thank God it culminates in a full and everlasting salvation. A full and everlasting salvation. Jesus is coming, folks. And we better get serious about it. We better get serious. You better let it affect your life today. Amen?
Amen.
some of these websites that we're visiting.
Uh-oh, come on.
Amen.
Come on.
We need to let it affect us today.
That's right.
If you're just on the Facebook and all that stuff, amen, just criticizing and tearing everybody else down, you're a gossip.
Come on.
Ain't that how you're supposed to close a message?
What a good point. I like it. Well, he done good, didn't he? Brother Rose will be preaching for us, Lord willing, one more time. That'll be tomorrow night. Tonight, Brother Tim McVeigh will preach.
Yes.
Tomorrow morning, Brother Tim McVeigh will preach. Brother Rose will preach for us on Thursday night. God's in the process of hurting this man very deeply. Grew up in a godly home. Had that heritage.
Yes.
Mother died, like I told you, his mind's been enfeebled. When he talks about losing a job, he's talking about his father losing a trucking business.
Yes.
That he worked for. Okay? And that's God's hand on this man's life. Now, we're going to take one more offering in this church. That's going to be Friday. Brother Rose will already be gone. We'll still split that offering. Miss Ashley will mail him a check for whatever half of that Friday offering is, okay? And wouldn't hurt some of you to come in here and pay him for a day of mattresses, okay? And but in order to do that, you'd have to double it because half it's going to go to Brother McVeigh.
Amen.
All right? All right?
Brother John, I make $700 a day.
He ain't getting nothing. Yeah. Brother Rose lifts mattresses, he pushes them down. I suspect, and I'm not God, I'm not his God. I've been my own God and messed my life up pretty bad. I wouldn't want to be anybody else's God.
True.
All right? It got to the point that my wife and I, we'd be in different Baptist churches, and some from pretty tolerable preachers, get a touch of God, okay? Some pretty tolerable people in them. But after a while, you realize most of these churches, they're just putting on the dog on Sunday, okay?
Right.
And you see these women in dresses and realize that's Halloween. You can tell they don't dress that way at home.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you take these black girls, or you take these rose girls. They could climb a tree, and you'd never see their underwear. All right, they just wouldn't. They've worn dresses all their life. They just know how to be modest. They get on a swing set, and they could swing, and you'd never see their underwear. They know how to be modest. They've just grown up that way. They just live that way. And you see these girls come to church, and you just realize they don't know how to wear that dress. It's just Halloween. Sam Mayon used to say, Hollywood, all right?
Amen.
You know, just come in here and pretend to be something or whatever else. And we'd watch that. And again, here's some guys preaching. Pretty good message. And yet, there never seemed to be that real conviction of a King James Bible. You could tell because they hold a King James Bible and give an NIV message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'll mention some Greek word, some Hebrew word, something like that, whatever else. And then you look it up, that's what the NIV said, all right? And it got to the point, it was heartbreaking. And then we'd get involved in people's lives. And you'd try to integrate them into the local church, and you couldn't get them integrated in the local church because the local church is a facade. And you know what? People have been living in the gutter. They don't want a facade. They're not interested in playing games, all right? Life's real to them, all right? Life's real to them.
That's exactly right.
And it was Archimedes who discovered the principle of the lever in the sense of the math behind it and everything else. How that, you know, a lever, you can move bigger things. And he actually began to work out the mathematical principles, and he finally made the statement, give me a place to stand and I could move the world. Okay? Give me a place to stand and I could take the whole entire world and I could move it with a lever. And you know what I found? The local church is that place to stand.
Amen.
You can move the world. And the day will come when God will put a thirst in you so great to move the world, and you'll be so disgusted with these guys, and you won't be able to bring in them drunk neighbors, and it won't do a stinking bit of good. But somewhere around in Tennessee is some little church failing. Four or five old people trying to hold on to it. And all their habits are bad because they haven't had a good shepherd in 40, 50 years, not because they chose to be evil. Don't be surprised if God makes you take that. Don't be surprised. It just makes you take that. When I took this church, the man that was the interim pastor said, don't take this church. Why not? They give me $100 a week. I couldn't live without that. When I took this church, I told the people, I said, you will give him $1,200. I said, I've run businesses before, and I have never let a man go when it wasn't his one. He's done his job without giving him something. Okay? I actually had a guy one time, I said, I want you to show up to work, I want you to punch in, and I want you to go look for a job. And for about 4 or 5 days, he'd come in, he'd punch in, and on the clock, he'd go look for a job, okay? And we couldn't afford to keep him anymore, but I wasn't just going to put him out there. And you know what? After 4 or 5 days, he found a job. Came in, didn't have to punch in anymore. He found a job and was able to take care of that, do what he needed to do. We gave that guy $1,200. I learned later he'd have sold his mother for $1,200. All right. And some of you know him and you know that, whatever else. But what am I saying? Go enjoy your afternoon. Do whatever God tells you to do. Okay. Thank God for some of you that are in a local church. As far as I know, just about everybody here is in a local church. That's a blessing. I got a number of local churches. Only about half the people here are from Black Creek. Well, maybe even a little over half of them are from other churches. And what a blessing that you're here today. And
amen.
Okay, what a blessing that you're part of that. Got a young lady sitting back there, sat on my porch yesterday. She told me she's made every mistake in the world. But she said, no man's going to touch me. We touch it an altar.
Good.
No man's going to touch me until we touch an altar.
That's right.
She's got skills and she's got abilities and she's got talents and she's got things like that that one day will be such a help meet for some young man. Will just so change that young man's life. Problem is we have young. We just can't put the man on it. Okay? And that's the problem. Father, thank you for what we've heard today. Thank you for Brother Rose. Thank you for him being obedient to the Spirit of God and being part of us here. We thank you for that. And I do pray that you bless Brother McVeigh when he preaches tonight. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.